You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. When it comes to homelessness, it seems that all eyes are on California at the moment. President Donald Trump is accusing homeless people living there of damaging the environment, and he has suggested shutting down encampments. But as Madeline Beck of the Mountain West News Bureau reports, real action on this issue may be happening right here in Idaho, where an ongoing court case could set a national precedent on how cities police homeless communities.
The legal battle started a decade ago in Boise, Idaho. At the time, if you were homeless in that city and sleeping on the streets, you got citations and fines.
We had hundreds of people getting tickets.
That's Howard Beledoff.
Ending up in jail, losing all their possessions, and having a record.
Beledoff is a lawyer with Idaho Legal Aid Services. He helped seven homeless and formerly homeless people take the city to court over the practice. He argued the citations were cruel and unusual punishment.
If you don't have any money and you can't stay in a shelter, or there is no shelter, what are you supposed to do?
The city responded and changed its ordinance a few years later to limit the citations. So a federal magistrate judge dismissed the suit Beledoff helped file. But there was a catch. The city could still cite people if there were beds available at a local shelter. The plaintiffs and their lawyers said that was unacceptable. Shelters aren't always a good fit, and some have religious requirements.
You know, nobody has to accept anybody else's other's religion, so why do homeless people?
So the plaintiffs and Beledoff appealed the court's decision to dismiss their lawsuit to the Ninth Circuit. And that court agreed with them. But it didn't end there.
We have a real concern about the ruling.
That's Boise Mayor Dave Beter. He says they ticket people sleeping on the streets to prevent homeless camps.
You know, it's the opposite of compassion to have these camps because people prey on them. They're dangerous.
So Boise decided to appeal, this time to the Supreme Court. That's where we are now. And if SCOTUS takes on the case, Boise won't be fighting alone. Cities across the West were scrambling after the Ninth Circuit decision because they depend on similar rules like Boise to control much larger homeless populations. Think Seattle or San Francisco. Sacramento and Sacramento County and Los Angeles County have already signed on to help with Boise's appeal. Other cities may join. Meanwhile, as Boise waits to see if the Supreme Court steps in, citations continue. Officers like bike cop Craig Nixon are on the front lines.
It's quite an interesting dynamic.
He says citing the homeless for camping is a last line of defense after several warnings, but he still has to use it sometimes.
They know that we are going to offer them as much help as we can, but when it comes to the rules and the laws, they know that we have a job to do and we're going to do it when we need to.
Nixon says he knows a lot of the chronically homeless by name. Many suffer from mental illness, addiction, or both. And he says it can sometimes be challenging trying to get them a bed for the night.
Because of some of their behavior inside the shelters, some of them can't go there. And so part of the ordinance, I think, is part of the contention now is the fact that even if they're banned from being there, the ordinance says, sorry, we're still going to enforce that.
I know they. Every time we set up somewhere, they make us move.
That last voice belongs to a weathered-looking man sporting a beaten-up pack in an alley behind Corpus Christi, a day shelter in Boise. He didn't give his name and said I should talk to someone else. That happened a lot.
Check out back. Okay. Go down Cooper. Take your left.
A young guy called Warren chats with me. He's wearing a black cap perched backwards and white-framed sunglasses. He says he can't afford a place to live right now.
Yeah, I can't, just can't handle the stress of a full day's worth of work because I have bipolar and schizophrenia. So,
72-year-old Greg is in a similar situation. Greg is a retired respiratory therapist and says he's been homeless for about 5 years. He tells me that some people just don't like the shelters, and that should be okay.
Basically, my opinion is if they really don't want to stay in a shelter, if they'd rather camp outside, they should be allowed to do that. As long as they're not creating a horrible mess.
The Supreme Court only takes around 1-2% of the cases sent its way. It's expected to announce whether it will hear this case, called Martin v. Boise, before the end of the year. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
And Madeline is joining us live in studio now to talk more about this story. Welcome back.
Good to be here.
Okay, so talk a little bit to us about how big of a problem homelessness actually is here in our state.
So when you compare it to places like Seattle or San Francisco or LA, it's a very, what I've heard from pretty much everyone discussing this on either sides of the case, it's a very manageable population. So the last point in time count happened in this last January, mm-hmm. and that had a bit more than 700 people in Ada County that were homeless. That is a very conservative amount. That is the amount of people they were able to count on a night in January. So there may be a lot of people holed up at that time, but that does give us a good look. We can break it down. About 227 of those people, or about a third, were considered chronically homeless, mm-hmm. people that were out year after year. 61 were either living out on the street or in their car. And that's 61 people that were living out in the middle of January.
Wow.
So obviously there's going to be some more doing the car camping and out camping during the summer.
Right.
But that's what we know of right now.
Okay. So we do know that the city of Boise, I mean, they have made an effort to house the homeless. They've done something like they paid for a new facility or helping to pay for a new facility for the chronically homeless, and then a planned facility for homeless veterans. So where does that fall into all of this?
So New Path Community Housing is the one with about 40 units, and it's specifically for chronically homeless people as a part of the Housing First initiative. It opened late last year. From talking with police, they've generally said that it's going really well. They haven't been called down there too much. And the space being built for homeless veterans will have about 26 units. But there are critics, and the critics tend to point out that the city only contributed about $2.5 million to these projects total. Many compared that to the city's planned library, which, you know, could cost more than $100 million. And absolutely, the homeless population uses the library during the day, but that's not housing.
Right. I mean, they can't spend the night
right.
in the library. They can't live there. So from what we know at this point, is it actually cheaper to put the chronically homeless in a facility than to allow them to basically camp on the streets?
All research points to yes. So it's cheaper to house them, essentially, especially the chronically homeless. There was a researcher here at Boise State University. Her name is Vanessa Fry, and she did a study a while back that showed that chronically homeless people, for them, it can cost more than three times the amount to leave them on the street than to house them. That's because costs for emergency room visits and jail time and all of that really start to add up. It's significantly less than getting them a single unit. That's for chronically homeless. But the thing is, Vanessa's work has been replicated in, by many universities, and a nonprofit organization known as the RAND Corporation mm-hmm. redid something very similar. And they found that it's more cost effective not only to provide housing for these people, but also even health services. It overall is cheaper for a city to do that. And that was in LA that they based their mm-hmm. study off of.
And I do believe part of that New Path Community Housing is part of that is getting health services
yep,
for those individuals and all of that, and mental health services in particular.
Correct.
So then, okay, you mentioned in the story that we just said this, the mental health and addiction. I mean, we all, you have to live under a rock to not know that this is a major concern for people who are homeless and the chronically homeless, but also in policing the homeless population. So can you talk about the specific challenges that come along with those two factors?
Yeah, absolutely. So just talking with policemen, I mean, a lot of them know which ones really have chronic problems with mental illness. Some of them go through cycles. Talking with Sergeant Craig Nixon, he specifically talked about a few guys that he knows one that sometimes he gets into a really bad place, then they have to call one of their mental health coordinators. They just signed on a second one recently, so they've got two to go out and help them. But it's really challenging because some of them are – they have really negative experiences with institutions, hospitals, jails, mental health facilities, so they really don't want to go to a shelter. So even though it's Sergeant Nixon's job to try to get them into a bed and try to get them, a lot of them don't like that environment. They don't like – the cramped spaces that a lot of those shelters often have, the noises. Mm. So they just try to avoid it. And so it's a really challenging problem to deal with.
Well, and then it goes back to that whole idea, right? That when you is the best idea to put someone who is dealing with a mental illness behind bars, or is it to get them the help that they need, but then also housing?
Right. And if they don't want to go into the housing that's there, the shelters for emergency housing, you know, and then how do we get them into that affordable housing when there's affordable housing shortages in places like Boise? It's a really big problem.
Okay, so we're still waiting to find out if this case is going to be taken up by the Supreme Court. What happens if it does not get taken up? What happens then?
So basically what happens then is it goes – it means the Ninth Circuit court ruling stands.
Okay.
And that means it goes back to a lower court. So the Ninth Circuit court essentially said
– you figure it out, basically.
Well, they said that the what happened was the lower court dismissed the case and they appealed that dismissal to the Ninth Circuit. And the Ninth Circuit said, no, there was grounds for a case here.
Okay. So then if – so – So if I'm thinking of this right, Supreme Court says no, if that is the scenario. The Ninth Circuit then says...
The Ninth Circuit's just...
Like, they're out of it.
Yep.
And it comes back to basically state court here.
Yep.
And it would be, I would believe, would it be in the 4th District since it's Ada County?
We'll see where it goes from there.
Okay.
We're waiting on the Supreme Court to say exactly which court it'll be in and who's going to be presiding over it. But... essentially, we just know that the city is going to have to re-argue why this camping ordinance does not violate the Constitution.
And it is interesting that others, as you mentioned in your story, that other cities have gotten on board with this because this really could set national precedent if the Supreme Court takes this case.
Oh, absolutely. If the Supreme Court takes this case, either way it rules will say whether people can police their homeless communities by allowing them to sleep in public or not.
Right. And that will affect every city in the nation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have any idea as to when they might make a decision if they take this up?
Basically, we're expecting by the end of the year, late November, early December is when we expect to hear back whether the Supreme Court's going to actually take this one on.
Thank you for coming in and talking more about this and really giving us a better perspective of what all goes into this nuanced issue. Appreciate it, Madeline. We've been talking with Madeline Beck. She is our Mountain West News Bureau reporter based here at Boise State Public Radio News. Up next, tariffs, interest rates, and what it means for Idaho. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.